Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I love these services where we get to come together, English and Chinese. For those of you who don't know, I am Chinese. But I'm more like a banana. Yellow on the outside and white on the inside. Darren's like truly Chinese and American. He does both, but I got stuck on my American side. So y'all pray for me that my Chinese will improve. But you know, this past week we had a great experience. A bunch of us as the leaders, we went to Malaysia for our Every Nation conference. And so we gathered with leaders from in our Every Nation movement from across East Asia and Southeast Asia and China. There's the gang that went. Picture yourself there next in 2 years. About half of our leaders, it was their first time ever to be at a Every Nation conference. So let's go, show the video. But today is moving day. Our last Sunday here. And there's something about wherever there's life, there's movement. And so as a church, we want to embrace change and movement like this. My hope is that as we continue to grow, we'll move many more times. And not only all together, but we'll send other church plants out and start churches throughout Taiwan. Because there's so many people here in Taiwan who just need Christians living alongside them. Our goal is not to just have a big gathering or everybody comes together for an event. Our goal is to do what Jesus did. He left heaven to come and live alongside us and show us what the Christian life looks like every day. He said, I've come to show you the Father and what that looks like as a brother, as a carpenter, as a neighbor, as a son. And so our heart is to go throughout the nation and throughout the nations and show them what it looks like to be Jesus as a teacher, as a businessman. What does Jesus look like as a friend or a neighbor? See, that's what we're called to do. And that never changes. Doesn't matter what kind of a meeting space we're in. Jesus is not the meeting space, he's you and I. He dwells in us and that never changes. And so as we move, we want to make sure that we are firmly founded upon the main things of what it means to be a Christian. And so today we're going to go back and say, what are the foundations that we're building on? So that in the midst of movement, we don't lose our way. Because that's easy. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for all that you've done here in this place. So many new people that we've met. lives that have been changed and transformed over the years. And our prayer, Lord God, is that in all that we do and everywhere we go, you would be lifted up. That we would always come back to that place of just wanting to be with you. Wanting to become more like you. And to do what you command us to do. Father, we pray that as we share the word today, Lord, you would reveal your heart to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go back to when I first moved here 4 years ago. I just preached a series on the foundations upon which we build our lives and we build our church. How many of you were here at Every Nation back in March of
2021?
All right. Well, the few, the proud. I love that so many of you have come in the 4 years that I've been here. And so for those of you who were here, you don't have to pay attention. So on this moving day, we're just going to reset the foundations. We're in the middle of a series on the book of Ephesians. And we've been talking a lot about what does it mean to be the church. And so today we're going to just spend a moment and reset who we are as a church. What are our foundations? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. For all of you who have ever been at a wedding, you probably have heard these verses. But these verses were not actually written for weddings. They were written to the church. To make sure that the church didn't lose its way but established its foundations. However, if you're single, you know, we do want you to get married. We're looking for a wedding. All the singles, raise your hand. We'll do matchmaking. At the end of the service, we'll pair you all up. Well, okay, I better not get myself in trouble. Here we go. Let's read that together. We'll do it in Chinese.
Okay, we'll
So three things that are going to last forever. If you want to build your life on a lasting foundation, as we look to build a church on a firm foundation, as we look to drive our stakes deep in this moment of stretching out and moving, the scripture says that there are three things that will always that are unshakable. They will provide a foundation that can last through any storm. Living here in Taiwan, we get used to these big earthquakes. Remember the one last year March? I think that might have been the biggest earthquake I've ever been in. And there's something about an earthquake. You know, storms like the typhoon that's coming, that's one thing, but you can build a wall and stay indoors. But when the earth begins to shake, there's no place to run. And I was just reading up on that, and it said there were 700 aftershocks in the hour after the earthquake. And over 10,000, I think, in the next 24 hours. And this is a lot of shaking. You know, but we live in a world and in a culture where things are shaking. And whether that's because of war breaking out, climate change, the fluxes in the economy, diseases like COVID, we live in a time when we are in the midst of change. But the scriptures say these three things will stand the test of time. So these are the things you want to build your life upon. Not your bank account. Not your career. Not your popularity. Not your influence or your status. But these three things, faith, hope, and love. So we look at the first one, faith. Let's see, I can do this. There we go. All right. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God or to live the Christian life. The question we have to ask ourselves is, when the Bible says you need to have faith, what is it talking about? How does the Bible define faith? And very simply, the Bible defines faith as a trust in God. Famous verse in Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but always look to God. You see, faith isn't simply just believing. The scripture says that even the demons believe in God and they just are very afraid. And some of us have that same kind of faith. We believe God is there, but we're just afraid of Him. And even though we might call ourselves Christians, we live in fear of messing up, rather than trusting that God will carry us no matter how much we mess up. And the biblical definition of faith is a trust in God that He will carry us through every situation. Some of us define faith as religion or religious works. But no amount of doing good will ever get you to heaven. In fact, the point of Christianity is not to get to heaven. The point of Christianity is to be loved by God and to love Him in return. And that kind of relationship with God can only be grown as you learn to trust Him. First John chapter 5, verse 4. I will read this one in English. We'll take turns, English and Chinese. It says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Okay. All right. See, you and I live in a world where there is a presence of evil. There is evil that is against you and that wants to tear your life apart. In other words, you have an enemy in your life. Or as a recent book calls it, you have a villain in your story. The trouble is, most of us don't recognize that we're actually in a battle against an enemy. And so we wonder, why don't things come together? Why does it feel like things are always a little out of step? It's because we have this enemy who's trying to throw us off. But the Bible says, when we learn to trust God, we will overcome our enemy. The problem is we leave God and we leave the devil out of our perspective. And so when we're bothered and when we're frustrated, we start looking at circumstances and the people next to us. And we let them dominate our lives. So we feel frustrated and angry and offended. We feel fearful and insecure. Because our eyes, rather than seeing the true enemy, our eyes are upon the circumstances and people around us. And then we think we're going to overcome by our own strength and our own wisdom and our own ability. But the scripture says very clearly that our enemy is not flesh and blood. Even though it might seem like it. Some of you, even as I'm talking, you have these faces before you. That person is definitely my enemy. But the Bible says, no, the enemy that we face is a spiritual being, the enemy, the demons. And our victory doesn't come through human means. Our victory comes from turning to the Lord and trusting Him for the victory. And so we need to just begin to say, God, what do you want to do through this person and through this circumstance? And trust His guidance. So the question is, how do we build that kind of trust? Because it's not just a matter of repeating a scripture enough that makes the enemy go away. And the scripture says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
然后这边呢，罗马书的十章十七节这样写。
We'll do this one in Chinese.
Okay,
your turn.
可见信道是从听道来的，听道是从基督的话来的。So
the scripture says our faith comes by listening to God.
所以圣经上说，我们的信心是从听神的话来的。Faith
in English comes by hearing.
所以这边写信心是从听道来的。And
Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice."
圣经上耶稣又说，我的羊群们，他认识我的声音。
In fact, the Bible says God is constantly thinking about you. And His thoughts about you are for mercy and for good. Sometimes when we imagine God, we think that His words about us are judgment and punishment. But the Bible says the voice of God is different. It's a voice of love. It's a voice of forgiveness. It's a voice of comfort and direction. And the Bible says God has so many thoughts that He wants to express to us every single morning. But for you and I, we need to learn to hear God's voice. And most all of us, we've heard God's voice, it's just we don't recognize the voice of God. So my encouragement, if you feel like, I don't hear God's voice, I've never heard God's voice, my encouragement for you is to begin to ask God, Lord, help me hear Your voice. You can come to God and say, God, Your word says that as Your sheep, I can know Your voice. And then just every day say, God, according to Your word, help me to hear Your voice. And in the scripture is one of the best ways of learning to hear God's voice. And so we encourage you, read the Word of God until you sense God speaking to you through the word. You see, our goal is not how much of the word we know. Our goal is how much of Jesus do we know through the word. Because the people who knew the scripture best were the ones who actually put Jesus on the cross. Because they knew a lot of Bible, but they didn't know Jesus. And so what you want to do is as you read the Bible, you say, God, show me yourself through the scriptures. Because you're going to need to be able to trust God. Because you don't know the way. You and I, we don't know the way to overcome the enemy in our lives. And you and I will always come into circumstances where we're at a loss of what should I do, where should I go. So the two things in all of our lives that we will face is warfare and mystery. Because the truth is, we were created for warfare and mystery. Any of you like superhero movies? Who's a famous Chinese superhero?
Shang-Chi.
That's from Marvel. But you know, it would be like a super boring movie if they just had superheroes and no villains. Here's Shang-Chi, and he is so powerful and so strong. And the whole movie is about him standing around being powerful and strong. I'm powerful. I'm strong. Just let me tell you, I can defeat any enemy. End of movie. Nobody's going to watch that movie. There's got to be some kind of villain in the movie. And if the villain is just like an ant, the Shang-Chi just says, okay, done, next villain. Okay, done, next villain. That's also not a movie anybody's going to watch. You have to face a villain who feels like he can really threaten you. Because you and I were made for triumph, for conquest. But there's no victory without a battle. Trophies bought at the pawn shop have no value. You have to win it through battle and through contest. And so you and I, we're going to constantly have warfare in our lives. Because God wants us to learn to walk in victory. Because there is a joy in victory that's way better than the joy that comes from practice. Anybody played sports? You know, I used to just hate practice and running drills. It's the most boring thing. I was like, Lord, you know, Coach, come on, let us at least scrimmage, you know, let us get in some competition. Because that's the point of it. But in our Christian life, it's like we want to get a bunch of knowledge but avoid any kind of conflict. And then we wonder why we're not walking in victory. You have to trust God that God will take you through every battle as the winner. How many of you have ever been confused? Anybody here? Anybody been in a situation where you didn't know exactly what to do? A few of us, you know? And God will constantly actually bring you into those kinds of places. Because it's the mystery that makes life an adventure. Part of the beauty of romance is when you're not sure if they're going to respond favorably. And you have to take a risk. I mean, if you already know the girl's going to say yes, and you already know that, you know, it's kind of just boring. You want that challenge of someone like, I'm not sure she's going to like me. Just, you know, take a risk. Life is empty without mystery. And if there's no risk, there's no need for trust. So God will always push us into the places where it requires risk. So that we can learn to trust Him. And then there's hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19.
Okay, 我们看希伯来书六章十九节。
Is it my turn?
Yeah, your turn.
This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So the kind of hope that the Bible talks about is like an anchor for us. But it says especially it's an anchor for our souls. And our souls are our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if you're like me, it's so easy for my emotions to be all over the place. I can be having a great day. And then I miscalculate walking through the door and I kick the side of the door with my foot. And I injure my foot. And all of a sudden I'm having a very bad day. And the rest of my day is just grumbling and complaining. Why did I do that? Why am I so clumsy? And I'll become my own worst critic. Or you can have a great day, have an amazing breakfast, and go to work. The first three people you meet are so happy to say, hey, Bruce, great to see you. Hey, man, you're looking good. And then the fourth person is like, hey, Bruce, you didn't turn in that stuff you're supposed to turn in. Well, it's not due till tomorrow. Yeah, but you should be early. Come on, you're slacking. You know why? Why are you always so lazy? Why don't you, your work is always subpar. And the rest of my day is ruined. Even if I'm an excellent worker, what that one critic says can control my emotions for the rest of my day. Because my emotions are not always rooted in reality. But when I begin to root my emotions in hope, all of a sudden, no matter what happens, my emotions are anchored in God. And what hope is a belief that God will keep His promises. So God says, I'm always going to love you. When God says, you will always triumph. When God says, there are rewards for you that are so much better than any suffering you'll go through. Hope is a belief in the promises of God that guides our lives. And that's how faith and hope work together. So if you don't trust God, it's unlikely that you will believe His promises. Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
Okay, 我们来读罗马书十五章四节，就是说，从前所写的圣经都是为教训我们写的，叫我们因圣经所生的忍耐和安慰可以得着盼望。
See what hope does. Our hope needs to be built on the promises that we find in Scripture.
那我们的盼望是要建造在我们在圣经上所看到的应许。
And so as we take a hold of the promises of God, then in those moments between the promise and the fulfillment, this hope keeps us anchored.
当我们相信这些应许的时候，那在这些应许还没有成全，我们还是可以抓紧神。
You see, as the people of God, we live according to the promises of God.
我们作为属神的人呢，我们是要靠神的应许而活的。
Sometimes we get the false notion that our Christianity is based on the promises that we make to God.
我们有时候为了这错误的想法，说我们的信仰是建立在我跟神怎么样约定，我对神的应许。
But the truth is that Christianity is based on the promises that God makes to us.
但其实呢，我们其实信仰是关乎神对我们的应许。
Because we are notorious for breaking and not keeping our promises.
因为我们常常会破坏自己的约定，对吧？
So if Christianity was based on us keeping our promises, it would be a huge burden and unfulfilling.
如果基督信仰是关乎我们对神的约定的话，那我们是一个非常大的重担。
But Christianity is based on God's promises to us.
但是基督信仰是关乎于神对我们的。
And God always keeps His promises.
神一定会成全他的应
许。Our problem is that we oftentimes we don't know the promises of God.
但是我们有一个问题，是我们常常不知道神对我们的应许是什么。
So we get in a battle.
所以我们就进入到这个征战里面。
And we're fighting the enemy.
然后我们跟这敌人交战。
We're battling a sickness.
我们跟这些疾病交战。
Battling bad circumstances.
我们跟这些不好的情况来交战。
And we don't know that God promises us to always triumph in our lives.
然后我们还不知道神他应许我们，我们一定会得胜。
And so then we're just so focused on our circumstances and ourselves and trying our very best.
我们只能专注在我们自己的能力，专注在这个情况上，然后说，哦，我就只能用我全力去试试看。
And it takes the joy from life.
然后我们生命就失去了喜乐。
So hope is based on the promises of God.
所以盼望是关乎于神对我们的应许。
The last is love.
好，最后一个是爱。
This is a new commandment that Jesus gave to us. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. So you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, Jesus said that the greatest promise, the one that transcends all other commandments, is that we need to love God.
耶稣说最重要的一个命令是我们要爱神。
And Jesus said, if you simply obey to love God and love others, you'll fulfill every other commandment.
耶稣说你只要爱神要爱人，那你就是遵守所有的命令了。
But then we wonder, so what does love mean?
我们又想说，那爱又是什么意思呢？
Is it the love of admiration?
是一种欣赏吗？
I think Jesus was a great guy. I really love his lifestyle and the things he did. Is it a love that's like a respect from afar? Man, I really love Michael Jordan's basketball game. And I really love eating hot pot. The love that God is talking about is the way that Jesus loved us.
在圣经上所讲的爱呢，是耶稣如何爱我们。
And so learning to love like Jesus, we can only do that as we begin to learn Jesus.
那我们要怎么样学习耶稣的话？我们要开始认识耶稣啊。
See, the Bible says that we were created in God's image.
圣经上说我们是按着神的形象所造的。
And so the goal of our lives is to align ourselves with who Jesus is.
我们生命的目的呢，是我们慢慢要跟耶稣他这个人对齐。
On our way back from to the airport in Malaysia, we're
从马来西亚回来的时候，我们去这个机场。
Our driver was a Muslim.
那我们的驾驶员呢，他是一个回教徒。
And so he's asking, so what do you do while you're in Malaysia?
对啊，就来问我们说，哎，那为什么你们来到了马来西亚呢？
I said, oh, I'm a pastor. We're here for a church conference. And so he's like, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. We love Jesus. You know, as Muslims, we really honor Jesus. He's just like Muhammad. So it's just another great prophet like Abraham and Jesus and Muhammad.
So we're
like brothers. We have great love and respect for Jesus. But Muhammad was the last prophet, so he's above Jesus. He didn't say it that way. He said it in a nice way to try to convince us to. But he said, actually, you know, Jesus and Muhammad are not the same. Jesus said, I'm God. That's different from a prophet. And so that stumped him a little bit. And he said, you know, Jesus is God who came down to earth to show us what God is really like. He showed us how much God loved us by dying on the cross for us. And actually what it means to be a Christian is to receive the love of God and to love other people with that same love. And if we miss Jesus and His love, then we miss the point of Christianity. And so in history, there's been many Christians who sadly have missed the love of God. And so I just shared with them, you know, Jesus, He claimed to be God, so it'd be hard for Him to be a prophet and also claim that He's God. And I just borrowed from C.S. Lewis and I said, you know, if when Jesus claimed to be God, He either has to be a liar, because He claimed to be God knowing that He wasn't. Or He's a crazy man. Because He really believes He's God, but He's not. I've done quite a bit of ministry in the psychiatric wards. And there's a lot of people there who think they're God. And they have to be removed from society. So Jesus was either a liar or He's crazy. Or He's God. It's hard for Him to be a great prophet and also claim to be God. And so I just was so grateful for the opportunity to share the love of God and say that Jesus wants you to know Him. You and I, those of us who believe in Jesus, it would be even more tragic for us to believe in Jesus without knowing His love. Without knowing Him. The Bible says it this way. It says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. And He's saying that we as a church, we're like a building. But what the cornerstone does is it lays the foundation for the building. And the cornerstone has to be perfectly laid and perfectly cut. Because then every other stone is placed in relationship to the cornerstone. And so for you and I, the Christian life is really getting to know the love of God. Because God is love. And we're created in His image. So you and I are created to be vessels of love. So today in our last service here, we're going to end with communion. Because communion is a place where we remember the love of Jesus. His very last meal with his followers. The Bible says that Jesus took bread. He broke it. And he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you." As often as you eat bread, you should remember his death. At that point, the disciples hadn't seen Jesus yet be crucified on the cross. But every time that they took communion thereafter, they remembered Jesus' death on the cross. And Paul said, "Wherever and whenever I preach, I always just want to preach the cross of Jesus Christ." Because the Bible says that this is the very essence of love, is that we would lay down our lives for each other. So as we prepare our hearts to partake, I just want you to bow your heads. And ask God, "God, where are the broken places in my life? Where are the things in my life that are in conflict with you? And to take those places and to put them at the foot of the cross. That we bring the broken places of our lives. That we bring the areas of sin and pride. Wherever in our hearts we're in opposition to God. Bring the areas of conflict and warfare. Bring the areas of confusion and pain. Bring them to the cross. Father, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus that makes us whole. I pray, Lord God, that today as we partake of your body, you would transform our hearts to receive your love and to love others in the same way. Bless the bread now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Scripture says that he then took the cup. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." It represents Jesus' promise. That whenever we confess our sins, he'll forgive us of our sins. And that he'll give us a new heart, a heart to love him. If you've been a place where you felt distant from God, or maybe difficulties, pains, hurts in your life has separated you from God. Maybe you've been just distracted or seeking other things other than the Lord. When the cup that we drink together, there's a renewal of our relationship with God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your covenant with us. That when our hearts are hard, when our hearts are broken, that you'll give us new hearts. Hearts that love you and love others. Bless the cup. In Jesus' name. Let's partake. Amen. Would you stand with me? Can we just close by celebrating God's goodness to us in this place? Let's close out this service by just giving God praise. Let's just give God an ovation. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Lord God. We lift you up in this place. Well, as we close, we just want to bless you with the presence of God in your life. That this week you would be more and more aware of Jesus and His love for you. That His promise is true, that He will never leave you or forsake you. And may you be so filled with the faith, hope, and love of Jesus that it overflows to others. It's good. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.